And we're back here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. We're chatting here today with Ben Jedlicka, Riley County Game Warden with the Kansas Department of Wildlife, Parks, and Tourism, about some upcoming events here. We talked about the swap meet and the annual fundraiser coming up here for the Fish and Game?
Well, it's Riley County Fish and Game Association. It's a supporting organization, a not-for-profit. And they've been around a long time. They have a weekly meeting on the they moved it. I better not say. I think it's moved to the second Thursday of the month now. All years and years, it's been the first Thursday of the month, and I think we're moving it to the second Thursday. But you can find out if you go to the swap meet on February 12th on Saturday, 8 to noon at Potter Hall at Seco Park. And if you haven't got to go, it's worthwhile. Dollar gets you in the door, and they got all kinds of fishing, hunting equipment. Now, you can get out your calendar, and Brandon, you and I know this, that if you miss these dates, you can go on In Focus On Demand and check out this show after, you know, on any day in the next week or so, right?
That's right.
But there's another event coming up, and this is for kids 7 to 13 years old, and it will allow them to learn how to sail. And it's the Blue Valley Youth Sailing Foundation. This doesn't start until June and July, and it's limited spots. They've only got about eight boats ready to go, and they'll take on eight kids 7 to 13. That lasts for a week in the evening, and after they get through that, then there's an advanced program, and they can continue in years to come, or this summer they can continue their sailing experience under well-supervised conditions with the Blue Valley Yacht Club. And it's the Blue Valley Youth Sailing Foundation. You'll need to go online, and there's an application process. The cost is not very much, but it's a real neat program where an 8-year-old can get out there and learn to sail.
That's pretty neat.
It is.
I got some more questions on that here in a moment. We got to go back to the phone lines first. You're on In Focus with Ben Jedlicka.
Yes. I'd like to know, is it legal to hunt coyotes at night with a night scope on private property?
That is new as of, I think, last year was the first season for that. And what one would do is buy a permit in order to night shoot coyotes. And that allows the use of thermal or night vision equipment. That season opens, I'm going to say, tonight or tomorrow. I think it's the 1st of February. Let me check on that, though. I really don't want to give out wrong information, but I'm almost sure that starts tomorrow.
Yeah, and they're nuisance coyotes. They kill calves and stuff.
I'm sorry, I didn't get that.
I said they're nuisance.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Coyotes, and the coyote population is really high. There's a lot of coyotes now. You know, it depends on who you talk to is how much problems they cause. But in any case, the coyotes, that season begins, and there's a permit that's required for it. Does that answer your question?
About mange. Are they real mangy this year?
Well, they could be some places and not so much in other places. And mange is a parasite, it gets in the dens or you know, it's persistent. And with this mild weather we've had, I'm sure that hasn't helped. But the question you're asking me is kind of like, how's the deer population? Well, in different places, it's different. So, you know, I guess it's a little bit off the subject, but a deer range is 5 or 10 square miles, and that 5 or 10 square miles might have a healthy or a great population. And it's the same with this disease or this parasite, that in some places it may be much worse than in other places. But this mild weather we've had is probably going to contribute to that particular parasite, mange, that carries the mange.
Okay, thank you.
And just a quick update, the Hunting Coyotes at Night is open now through March 31st. It actually began on January 1st. So
January 1st, okay.
So there we go. And appreciate the call. It was a good question. We had another caller before her that wasn't able to come on air, but I guess asked about the youth and disabled hunt. When is that?
Okay, the youth and disabled hunt is that youth and disabled season is the Labor Day weekend is traditionally when it is, and that goes on for that weekend plus the next weekend. And the youth and disabled season that's supported by Riley County Fish and Game Association and other organizations, including the Corps of Engineers, and now I'm going to miss them because, but in any case, we support that second weekend. We're kind of tied up on the Labor Day weekend, but we support that second weekend of the youth and disabled season. But then also there's a doe season or antlerless only season that opens in October. And the weather is usually a little better then. It can be mighty hot that weekend, that Labor Day first weekend in September. So we support that antlerless season in October. And I hope that helps you with those dates. That's always going to be the weekend of Columbus Day. And I think the season opens on Friday or Saturday, and then it closes after the Monday Columbus Day holiday.
All right, very good. Getting back to the sailing here. So you mentioned this is open to youth 7 and older. That's not till summertime, it sounds like. But what kind of preparation would you need to do ahead of time if you want to get your kids registered for that?
Well, because it's so limited, I would make sure that end of March, 1st of May, you know, or let's go for April. Get your application in April. It's the initial part of it is open to ages 7 to 13. There's a simple application, and again, contact the Blue Valley Yacht Club or the Blue Valley Youth Sailing Foundation. You can find them online and get that application in April. Again, ages 7 to 13. They have a week of evening camp or evening sailing experience that it continues until Saturday. And then after they've gone through that, there's an advanced program. So later in the summer, they can continue sailing. Not part of that youth Opti Sailing initial program, but there's opportunity later in the summer and in the next year, so it continues on.
All right. I've not seen a lot of folks sailing at Tuttle Creek. Is that popular?
Oh, yeah. There? Yeah. It's a good place to sail. And right now, too, the water's down. I mean, for other activities, there's a lot of kind of hiking opportunities with the water down. Tuttle Creek, you know, the water can go up 20 feet in 20 days, and that's conservative. But it scours the bank in order to make the advantage to that is it makes a place to just go take the dog or go hike along the bank. It's all rock bank, and when it gets scoured like that from the high water, it's clear of vegetation, so... but, yeah, there's sailing that goes on, mostly day sailing.
All right. Yeah, hiking sounds like a lot of fun, especially if the weather gets a little nicer here. Of course, maybe not during the snowstorm this week, yeah. But some really good opportunities around there. It's beautiful countryside.
Yeah. It's there's a lot of access that, you can hike along the lake for quite a little ways. And, again, it's scoured clean.
We have another caller here. Come back to the phone lines. You're on In Focus. Go ahead.
Yes, my question for the game warden, hunt your own property or land elk permits. When do they expire?
Oh, well, you've stumped me. I have to look that up. But it I think it's still open now. I'm sorry. Without looking at the instructions, I'm not going to be able to tell you. Maybe we could get your number and I can call you back. I don't have it in my Rolodex. It's between my ears.
All right. Sorry.
January 31st, March 31st, April. I just like to know.
Well,
hey, David, maybe
785.
Okay.
210-6691.
All right, we'll get your number down here. We'll see if we get back to you here on that.
6691. Got it.
All right. Sorry we couldn't answer the call there, but
I feel bad about that. I just don't have every answer.
You got a lot going on.
And again, you know, just like that coyote thing, the question comes up, and I'm better off not guessing, because look what you pulled out of your hat there. Mm. You came up with the Google answer.
Yeah. Google's our friend sometimes. As far as any other news to share here this morning, you got anything else?
Well, get ready. You know, the river, probably the way we've had a dry spell, the river's going to be good for recreation coming up this year. I always look forward to crappie season. Dave's going crappie fishing with me this year.
Yeah. All right. Well, Dave, you going to say something there?
I'm getting ready to. I have to learn how to train my voice to do this. But, you know, I love crappie fishing. And when are we going? Is it in April? Late March?
What I aim for, or what I've said for years, is it's tax day through May 15th.
Gotcha.
Now, if you go up north, or if you go to some places where the water warms up a little quicker, by the way, the crappie fishing starts north on the lake, or mm-hmm. where the water warms up first, and it moves down the lake, and then by the first week of May or so, it's all the way down here. That doesn't mean that back in the coves you can't catch crappie, but in general, it moves from that warm water down the lake. And I always said it was tax day, April 15th to May 15th, but I would move that up a little bit to the first of the very last week of March or the first of April. Now, that's when I can catch crappie, and there's people that catch crappie all year. I'm not one of them. I have to go during the crappie spawn, and they're up on the bank, you can catch them without a boat and right along the bank. And that's April 15th. I would be, there's some getting ready, and getting ready is part of the fun. Getting the sharp hook's good, Dave.
Okay, good.
Yeah, do some hook sharpening.
Hook sharpening?
And I'm kind of
I just find new ones? Are they sharp enough to out of the box?
Well, sometimes yes, sometimes no.
Oh, okay.
But that
hook
doesn't
like
hurt.
A sharp hook.
That doesn't hurt if you sharpen those hooks, and that'll put you, that's a little project for you to do between now.
Thanks.
And that day that you take it all out there.
I figured you'd do all that for me, Ben.
No. I got my own hooks to sharpen.
Well, I can borrow. Certainly I can borrow.
Oh, yeah. I've got
jigs. Tuttle Creek, when I was in high school, I think I was really into fishing because we had this big watershed dam. And, man, we were just catching stuff all the time left and right out of there. But I remember Tuttle Creek used to have the reputation of being like the hottest spot in the nation for crappie fishing. But that's kind of, is that because a lot of that was in the north end and some of that is silted in with all those trees that are up there in the north end?
Well, it's still pretty, that's still its reputation of having good crappie fishing. Now, you got to realize too that back in those old days, Tuttle was like the only place. It was, Milford wasn't in yet. Perry wasn't in yet. So it was a limited amount of reservoirs that were ready to go. And those went in later, so it kind of spread it out some. But crappie fishing on Tuttle is still good if you get the right water conditions. And the water conditions that we need to look out for is if it's going up 5 feet in 5 days or 10 feet in 10 days, that pretty well shuts things down. That's just too extreme. But if we have stable water conditions, and sometimes it comes and goes, you'll get a little inflow and the water will start coming up, but then things settle down. And as long as it's not going down or coming up you know, coming up real fast. That's the stable conditions we're looking for some good crappie fishing, and I'm looking forward to it.
We are sure glad we got to have you in the studio today, Ben, and we'll see you again here real soon, I'm sure.
Thank you for having me, Brandon. It's great to see you. It's been years.
It has been. Well, we will take a break and come back. We're going to talk with someone from the Abilene and Smoky Valley Railroad up next here on News Radio KMAN.